be with you today. Failed to mention in the announcements that James Wills is with us this morning. We announced Wednesday night that he was in the hospital with a kidney stone, and he is back with us. So I know that's no fun. James and I have it in common that we love Disney, and now we have it in common that we both know all the names of the doctors at Urology Associates. So we're glad that he's feeling well enough to be with us today. This morning I want to take a break from our series in the book of Judges, as today is Father's Day that we celebrate in our country, and want to do a little bit different lesson today and talk about the man that God chose to raise his son. Talk about Joseph. I don't think I've ever done a lesson on this subject before. It's probably because we don't really know a whole lot about Joseph, but we do know some things that I think will be good for us to look at. When our boys were young, you know, Jarell and I had conversations about what if something happens to us, who would we want to take care of the children? And so that's something I think is very common for people that have children. They make plans. Maybe they make plans with relatives or friends. What should we do if something happened? And there's a lot of thought that is put into that. It, nobody says, well, you know, we'll just let the government take care of it, or we will just whoever wants them can have them. You know, that's not the kind of attitude that you would have about that thing. On a lesser standpoint, when you think about that, you know, when we think about the first time that you get a babysitter, you know, that you're going to have a babysitter coming, there's a lot of thought that goes into that. Well, let's just look in the phone book. Who knows what a phone book is? But it just look. Let's just find somebody. I saw a bulletin board at Walmart, and there's somebody that says they babysat. So let's just call that person that we don't know. No, what we did is we called Amy Oglesby, you know, because we wanted Amy to babysit our boy. So we wanted somebody that we liked and somebody that we trusted and knew well. And so you think about those things, and you think, who is going to be a guardian for my child, even if it's a temporary one? So we want the very best for our kids, you know, physically and spiritually. And so when we think about the situation with Joseph being the one that was chosen to be Jesus' earthly father, you think about God, our Heavenly Father, had a choice to make about who it is that is going to be the one that Jesus is going to grow up with. Who would he choose to be Jesus' earthly father and trust into his hands the care of his son? I don't know that until I was preparing this lesson that I really had thought about it in that regard, because we do certainly concentrate a lot on Mary, and there's more that's known about Mary because she lived longer. But, you know, if God would have asked our advice in the matter, what would you have chosen? Well, I want somebody that's going to, you know, be able to give them all the things that they need, you know, physically. Somebody that's well off, and so they're not going to suffer for needing the things of this world. That's what people would think of today. Who is it that would be able to take care of my kids? And are they monetarily able to do so? That didn't really seem to be a consideration here. He was not somebody that was experienced in being high up in religion. And so that might be another thing that you would have thought about, choosing somebody that was very influential in religion, or somebody that's powerful and influential in here in the religious center of Israel, or somebody that's experienced in raising children. Maybe somebody that's already had experience in that matter. But, you know, as is his habit, God did not take my advice on that. So when it came to choosing an earthly father, he chose Joseph. Joseph was not a rabbi or a priest. He was poor and unknown, at least at first, and he lived far from the seat of power, from Jerusalem, and he had no experience being a father. So God chose Joseph. So why is that? Well, the story begins in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And so, the birth of Jesus was going to happen. Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. Nazareth is about 70 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And they were betrothed or engaged to be married. And in this culture, to be betrothed was as binding as actual marriage. And so you took vows, you exchanged a dowry, and you needed a divorce to dissolve the betrothal, even if the couple had not yet consummated the marriage and been intimate. So in normal circumstances, there would be a betrothal followed by a period of preparation for the wedding feast, which was followed by them actually, living together. So when the wedding feast would take place, the groom with his party of attendants would wind his way through the streets with music and merriment and go to the house of his betrothed in order to bring his bride to the wedding feast. And we've talked about that in other contexts. And after the celebration, she would return to his house to begin their married life together. So what we see here is at this point, this is what's been going on to be planned with Joseph, and like all grooms, busily preparing for these things. And so before going to her house to get his bride, we read that he learns of in some way that she is pregnant. And he does not know yet how that happened. So you can imagine being Joseph in this situation, the great disappointment that there would be. That the girl that he loves and has promised to marry is supposedly pregnant by another. So you would feel cheated on. And you might feel that you would be embarrassed by that situation, and that the things that you had planned and dreamed about were not going to happen as you had planned. So it would certainly be a moment of pain and confusion, but you get a glimpse here of the type of character that Joseph is, because God has chosen Joseph here to be Jesus' earthly father. And what we see is, number one, that Joseph is merciful. It says in verse 19, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." So that is not the only choice that he had, but he did not want to embarrass her. So the Bible here says that he was righteous or just. So you see right here at the outset, why God chose him, that he was somebody that was righteous. And he wanted to do what was right. That's what a righteous person wants to do. They want to do what's right before God, even in the midst of a difficult and painful situation. Because what is it that we do when we're hurt? We may not make this type of decision. And so this him being a righteous man and him acting with mercy is very commendable. And Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17 says, "Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves." So right away you're impressed with Joseph, because according to the law in Deuteronomy chapter 24, because he is a Jew and a righteous Jew, he cannot marry a woman pregnant by another man, even if he does love her. So he has two options: either to divorce her openly with with public testimony. And so that would have been something that would publicly disgrace Mary, or to pursue this quiet bill of divorcement. And that's what it says that he was planning on doing. So he certainly would have been within his rights to publicly shame her, but he wasn't going to do that. And so it's a good quality that he has here. And we also see that the Joseph was a humble man. Verse 20 says, "When he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save the people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated is 'God with us.' And Joseph awaked from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." And so, I don't know about you, but this would be something that would be really unbelievable, that this could happen. But he got the message from God. God sends him this dream in which he reveals to him the true nature of Mary's pregnancy and what he wants Joseph to do. And so it also here you can see in this context the quality of Joseph that it really is can be appealing to God, which is humility. And humility is the absence of desire to always impose your will or to look out for your own best interest. And a humble man is not always easy to find. And so, after all, he had already, gone the extra mile and not, planning on publicly disgracing her. But now he has this new information. And so, what is Joseph's situation? Well, the child that he is going to accept is born in a stable. They had to flee from Egypt. They had to move to Nazareth. And he also had no relations with her until she had the baby that was not his. And so, what could Joseph have... I know this is speculation, but what could Joseph have done when he was presented with this information? Well, this is quite an honor that you chose us. You are going to take care of us, right? You are going to, the Son of God is going to be born into our family. So, I'm not going to have to work, am I? Am I going, so you could see how you might be expecting that, we have been chosen. And so, we've got the grand prize here. But you don't get any indication reading about the life of Joseph and Mary that they ever had it easy. In fact, the life that they had after Jesus was born was quite hard, in that they were having to flee. And so I found that very interesting when you see what's not here. That Joseph accepted what it was that God told him and said, I'll be willing to do that. I'll be willing to do what you say, but here's what I would like some consideration. And if you would, because this is people are going to look at us and they're not really going to believe this. They're going to think that she's been unfaithful. This is going to be embarrassing to us. So, in consideration for me doing what you say, here's a few things that I would like to have. You don't get that. You don't see that. And you would think, well, Joseph certainly would have a right. Look at the situation that he has been put in. He has been given the task of caring for God's son, yet he remained poor and continued to work to earn a living. But what I never see in the scriptures is Joseph complaining about anything. He had rights in this situation that he didn't, take advantage of. He was very merciful and kind and loving to Mary, and he was very submissive and humble to God when God asked him to take on this task and what God wanted him to do. So when you think about the man that God chose to raise his son, he's a man of faith. He's a man of obedience. He's a righteous man. He is a humble man. And so you see this great humility that he has. When you look at Luke chapter 2, we read about a couple of incidents in Jesus' life where Joseph is not specifically mentioned, but it's clear that it's demonstrating other reasons why God chose him to be Jesus' father. Verse 21 says, when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so what you see here is this is indicating what Joseph and Mary are doing, that they are obeying the law. They are obeying the old law in having Jesus circumcised and offering the sacrifice to present him to the Lord. When you move over to verse 39, it says, when they had performed everything, according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So what you see here is that these verses, although Joseph is not specifically mentioned by name, you see that he's involved here in the raising of Jesus as an infant, and they go and do the things that the law requires of them. So it reveals the piety of Joseph. Sometimes people don't like the word piety. I don't know why it's become to have a bad connotation, but piety is the attitude that one considers the things of God and respects the things of God. And so as the head of his home and family, Joseph is seriously taking on this responsibility of training the eldest son in the ways and teachings of God. And so it says here in verse 39 that they performed everything according to the law of the Lord. And that's a powerful statement, that they did everything that they were supposed to do according to the law. And so we see this in the obedience to the law for circumcision and these yearly pilgrimages to Jerusalem. And when you consider the distance that they would be traveling from Nazareth to Jerusalem, this is something that would be time-consuming. It would be expensive for a poor family. Verse 40 says that Jesus is becoming strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And so we also know that Jesus worked alongside his father, and that he grew wise mentally and emotionally. And so what do we see here? Well, there's a lot implied here that Joseph and Mary are doing a good job raising Jesus, that they are examples of a Jewish family that is being obedient to the law. And so this is, you know, why he's in this family. Jesus is going to be having good examples around him and his father. Another thing in the category of I would like more information, I would like to see conversations between Jesus and Joseph, but we don't have any record of that. But the things that we see here certainly indicate that Mary and Joseph are teaching Jesus as they should. And no doubt, if Joseph is following the law, as it says here, he did everything according to the law of the Lord. What's one of the parts of the law? Deuteronomy 11, verse 9 says that they were to teach the law in the morning and the evening. that they are to speak those things, and they would have been doing that as well. So, as I mentioned before, Jerusalem to Nazareth, it's a 140-mile round trip each year, mainly on foot, but on this is something that would have taken a lot of dedication to this as well. So Joseph is demonstrating his reverence for God in the way that he trains his family to respect God's commands and to be the kind of example that he should. So when you read these things, you know, what do you think about Joseph and why God chose him? Did God choose Joseph to raise his son because he was rich and that he was a powerful man in the community and considered to be such a powerful leader? Doesn't seem to be that way. He chose Joseph because he was like a man that they were supposed to be. He was kind, he was merciful, he was respectful of God and his commands. And that's what a man should be. That's what a man should be today. And it's not always so. In fact, you know, when you see men portrayed and husbands and fathers portrayed on TV and books, movies, they're either bumbling and they're not real smart and they're always making the wrong decisions, or they are portrayed as being very rich and very powerful, and you know, they're going to steamroll over anybody that gets in their way. And the world looks at that, and that has not always turned out well. That those that are in positions of being very powerful, many times they're not doing what they ought to be. They may be oppressing others and or being divisive. But what the world needs and what families need and what churches need is men like Joseph that are good examples. And don't get me wrong, because this is not a sermon about male bashing, but there's a lot of male bashing that goes on today. What we need to be reminded of is what the Bible says about men that are good spiritual leaders and what they ought to be. Because, as I said, men today are portrayed as being foolish, being brutish, and in the society in which we live, man is not given a lot of regard in the world today, or in our society anyway. But God blessed men in special ways, and He blessed women as well. They both have their roles to play. But let's think about the history of what God has entrusted to people that have been faithful to Him. The first man was Adam, and He entrusted His creation to Adam. He entrusted to Noah the building of the ark through which, you know, mankind was saved. The promise of a Savior came through Abraham and his family. And Moses was a type of Christ in leading his people out of slavery. And so we see the apostles. We see those who wrote the scriptures. We see so many good things having been done from those that God appointed to these works. And God appointed a good man here, Joseph, to take on this work. And so men have a job to do, and they should do that according to God's will. Women have things to do as well. And if we would all do our role and be faithful to God and not listen to how the world tries to define us or degrade us, we would be a lot better off. So the problems that exist in the world are not created by men like Joseph. They are caused by men who refuse to accept their responsibilities as men and as fathers. And that's a difficult thing today. Because there are many that are fathers that shouldn't be. Because they don't take the responsibility seriously, and or they abandon their family. And the problem is that people do not have to take a test to be parents. They don't have to have any kind of qualifications to do that. So you've got good ones and you've got bad ones. And today is Father's Day, and we think about our fathers. And I didn't always like what my dad did. He was strict sometimes, and I saw others who had fathers that weren't as strict. They got to do things that I didn't do, and there were times that I didn't like that. But when I look back at it now, I have a dad that is described here in verse 39, when they had performed everything according to the law. My dad was striving to do things according to the Scriptures. He was trying to be the kind of father that God would have him to be. Was he perfect? No. He wasn't perfect, but when I look back at what he was trying to do, I'm very thankful for him, and I'm thankful for the things that he did, and I'm thankful for the things that he did not do. I'm also thankful for Jarrell's father, who was my new dad that came into my life when we got married, and spent a lot of time around him. And so everybody does not have the blessing of having the good fathers and father-in-law that I did. But I'm so appreciative of that. But when we look at the Scriptures and we see men like Joseph, who, when we're first introduced to him, what do we see? We see that he's kind and that he's merciful to Mary, and that he is a man that is doing everything according to God's will. And he doesn't, try to bargain with God and say, well, you've given me a really tough task here, and I think that this is worth something. He obediently does what God would have him to do, and we see him raising Jesus in a good way and being a good influence. And that seems so simple, doesn't it? But there's just not enough people like that. Men who should strive to be like this and lead their home through self-sacrifice. And men who are in awe of the Lord and able to install reverence in their children for God. And be the kind of example that they should be. One thing that I saw in my father is that he never compromised, or didn't seem to ever compromise when it came to doing the will of God. When it came to work, coming together and worshiping God, there was never any question when we got up on Sunday morning where it was that we were going to be going. When it was time to go to service, of course, he was the preacher, and he had to be there. But he would have done that anyway. Even if he wasn't the preacher, he would have been there. There never would have been a question about what it is that he was his priority. And he would have to be deathly ill not to go and worship God. I saw many times he'd stand in the pulpit and I knew his back was hurt and I knew the other things were wrong. But he put that aside. And so he was very dedicated in every way, in every part of his life. So there's never a question about where his priorities were. And the same way with Jarrell's dad. Always put the work of the Lord first in everything. He sometimes would cut vacations short because there was something going on back at home with the congregation or somebody that needed him. And he would take care of those things. Always putting others first and putting God first. So what we see here is that we need more people like the man that God chose to be his earth, to be Jesus' earthly father. So, you know, what good is building a business or building a reputation, you know, if your wife and if your children are deprived of your attention and your love? And you know, we need to remember that when children grow up, you know, they follow our example. Not your advice, they'll follow your example more so than anything else. A recent survey wanted to determine what person was most influential in determining their choice or rejection of a career, and over 70% said that their fathers were the primary influence in their lives, whether it was positive or negative. And so we need to, as men, remember what we're dedicated to. We should be dedicated to God. And as a result of being dedicated to God, we're going to be dedicated to our families, to our wives and our children, just as we see in the life of Joseph. I know that we don't have a lot of information about Joseph, but the little bit that we do have, it helps us to understand why God chose this family to be the family that Jesus was born into. And obviously, that was a great blessing for them, and I believe it's a great blessing for Jesus as well to have Joseph and Mary as his earthly mother and father. So I hope these things will be useful to you, and certainly to us as men, be an encouragement to us to be the kind of husbands and fathers and disciples of Christ that we should be. So let's be thankful for the good influences that we have, and let's live our life in such a way that we can be good influences on others. If today you are subject to the invitation of Christ, perhaps there's things that you've been putting off that you need to do, or you haven't yet named the name of Christ and been buried in baptism. If there's any way that we can help you respond to the invitation, we invite you to come while we sing.
Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this beautiful day that we can come together and worship together with fellow Christians. We're thankful for the encouragement that is provided here. Thankful for the remembrance today of the gift of your Son as we partook of the Lord's Supper. We're thankful for your great sacrifice in sending him and his great sacrifice and willingness to give us an opportunity of being home in eternity with you. Especially mindful this day of you as our Father, and that we are blessed to be your children. We're also mindful today of our responsibility, those of us that are fathers, to be the type of father that you would have us to be and be good examples. We're thankful for the spiritual influences that are in our lives, and for those that teach us and guide us in the way of truth. Please help us to always lean on your word and to live by and teach it to others, so that we can be together in eternity with you. We pray for everyone's safety as they return home, and we will look forward to meeting again, Lord willing, next time we assemble. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.